Well, God bless your hearts. What I'm going to share with you tonight, I'm going to title, Blessed is the Nation Whose God is the Lord. And tonight's going to be a little bit different, kind of a sharing. Both Jeannie and myself are going to share. And what we want to share, we believe, affects every believer very deeply. And as a result of what we share, we're going to ask you to do two things. One of them is clearly exhorted for the believers to do in God's Word. The other is not specifically in God's Word, but if believers fail to do this, especially in our country, the consequences could be devastating. On November 3rd of this year, extremely critical event is going to occur. Americans will have an opportunity to vote for their House of Representatives and for their president, and as well as probably other local officials. In California, there is no U.S. Senate seats up for election, but some of you in other states may have some Senate seats open. Usually every election there's 33 seats for the U.S. Senate that is open for election. Why are we very concerned over these upcoming elections? Well, let me give you a little bit of background as well as a civics lesson on how our country works. 244 years ago, on July 4th, 1776, some 56 men representing 13 colonies decided to become its own country and declare its independence from Great Britain. They based the purpose of the new country on godly principles through the document called the Declaration of Independence. And part of what it said is, quote, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. In other words, unalienable is rights that you cannot take away. But by that Creator with certain unalienable rights, among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, end of quote. So our founding fathers recognized that God rules in people's lives, and that if they were going to have any kind of a country that's successful, they need to recognize these rights and adhere to them. Now, at the end of the document, it closes with this, quote, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Now, many of those signers did lose their lives and their property and were captured and put in prison. Thankfully, and with God's intervention, the ragtag Continental Army beat the most powerful army in the world. It was a challenging time for this young nation with 13 different colonies. You know, eventually after they won the war, Revolutionary War, they tried what we know as the Articles of Confederation, which really didn't work too well. So they got together a couple times and finally put together a republic with the type of government that's based on a constitution. So in 1789, the United States had its unique government set up. It was a republic, or a representative form of government. And it had checks and balances between the levels of government, and in light of larger, more populated states versus the smaller states. And we have the three branches, right? Judicial, executive, and legislative. The judicial is selected by the executive branch, the president. And, of course, it has to go through the Senate to get their advice and consent by the Senate and the legislative branch. And of course, we have the executive, which is voted on by Electoral College via vote by the people. He has that veto power over the legislature, and he carries out the laws of the land. And then, of course, the legislative part of our government is in two parts, the House of Representatives. There's 435 congressional districts in our country, each representing roughly 500,000 people. And then on the other side of the House is the Senate, and there are 100 senators representing 50 states, so two per state. That way each state has equal representation. And if the president vetoes one of their bills, they have the opportunity by two-thirds vote to overturn that veto. So that's a little bit of a lesson on how our country works. It's a beautiful system that has worked for 240-some years. And we're at a crossroads, I believe. Now, since the beginning, a majority of our government officials have been Christians. The Bible has played a very important role in our government. And yet, there is a deep concern that many Christian values are being compromised. The sanctity of the individual freedoms is being covered over with socialism type views, where the government should take care of the people instead of them taking responsibility for themselves. Many Christian organizations are very concerned about what's going on and how important this upcoming election is and the many issues that we are facing. And unfortunately, they are forgetting the great value of the principles that we have in God's word that is set within our government system. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. So a nation's going to be blessed if that nation puts God first. And we certainly tried that and been doing a pretty good job of that. But in recent years, our government, I think, has failed us. And, of course, the people whom he's chosen for his own inheritance, that's you and I. We are sons of God. We have a great inheritance. It says in Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Christ makes a man or a woman free. That's true liberty, when someone recognizes who they are in Christ. That just breaks all the bondage of the world and the devil, and they don't have to be entangled with it at all. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You and I, as born-again ones, we have Christ in us. We have that Spirit of the Lord in us. We truly should know what liberty is. We're the ones that should be the leaders, the ones that really love this nation, this Christian nation, and participate in it. You know, we take God and his word, and we put it in this country. You know, you look at many of the buildings and facilities, government, federal, state facilities, and many of them have scriptures, you know, alongside of their building, or they have displays with scriptures or the Ten Commandments. There's a lot of the Bible woven within our government system. And yet, people now are trying to get rid of that, eliminate that. It says in John 8:31 and 32, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Again, we continue in God's word. We are true disciples, and we know the truth, and certainly the truth does make us free. And we need to recognize that so that we can live that more than abundant life that Jesus Christ has given us. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know what? First of all, we should be praying for our brothers and sisters, praying for those who are in authority, praying for those who are our government leaders. They need it. They desperately need it. So the first thing we're asking is first pray. We need to pray more than ever before for our country and these upcoming elections. And the second thing I'm asking the believers to do is vote, to participate. And the best way to participate is to vote. To register, make sure you register, and vote November the 3rd. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have not been called unto liberty. For brethren, you have been called, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. We don't use the liberty we have in Christ for our selfish motives, for our flesh. But as the verse goes on, but by love serve one another. We help one another. We serve in love. Boy, that's the lifestyle of a Christian. And that should be the lifestyle of our citizens, too. We all should be helping and serving in love. So, our country needs the Christian believers more now than ever before to, one, pray, and two, to vote. Okay? Well, I'm going to pass it on over to Jeannie. Jeannie?
Yes. I only have a few minutes here. So I wanted to share James Dobson, who is the founder of Focus in the Family and Family Talk, wrote a newsletter, and it was called America's Civil Wars Then and Now. And he compared the time that we are in right now similar to the Civil War in that our nation was divided like is divided like no other time since the Civil War. And I'd like to share some of this letter with you, and I think it will just expand on what our voting, what is required, and just kind of, I just thought it was a very spiritual aspect that he brought. Says our nation is divided like no time since the Civil War. Lawlessness and anarchy stalk the cities as angry mobs riot. People have burned, loot, rob, and kill innocent bystanders. Cultural monuments are being destroyed. Scores of people have been shot. Our courageous police officers are being brutally attacked by the same people that they vowed to protect. What began as a justified and lawful protest in response to George Floyd's senseless murder by a rogue police officer has morphed into violence for the sake of violence. Hatred flows in the streets, including vitriol directed at the President of the United States or anyone who dares to support him or his policies. Constitutional rights to freedom of speech and religious liberty are being trampled. There is also widespread belief that violence and anarchy are being organized and funded by powerful forces that are maneuvering America towards a socialist dictatorship. And then the second reason that he compares our time to the Civil War is because of it reminds us of the responsibility to vote. Each presidential campaign has been important, but some have had jaw-dropping and nation-shaping consequences. In 1864, President Abraham Lincoln was voted in for a second term, and it was the time of the Emancipation Proclamation, and our country was at a great crossroads. But he did win, praise the Lord, and we have that freedom today in America. But the lesson that we need to know is that there are many Christians who feel their vote doesn't matter. They're wrong. Voting always matters. And Dr. Dodson said, I plead with you to register and vote in this presidential election. I won't tell you who to vote for because you can figure it out yourselves, but I would suggest how you might evaluate the situation we face. I'll close with six critical issues that have stunning importance for the nation. Please think hard about them and then go to the polls. The first one is the next generation's education. There's a fierce battle being waged now in the nation's classrooms for the hearts and souls of our children and grandchildren. The importance of family, the way God designed it, and gender are being questioned. The homosexual lifestyle is being pushed. The safety of our children is at stake. Number two, the sanctity of human life. All life is sacred and is a gift from Almighty God. Since 1973, more than 60 million babies have been murdered through abortion and countless lives have ended by euthanasia. These are important issues that we need to know how our candidate supports them or believes in them. The marriage and family. The family is God's original building block for society. Marriage continues to serve as the foundation for every dimension of human life. Everything of value rests on it, including procreation and the care and training of children. If that ground floor is weakened or undermined, the entire superstructure of civil society will come crashing down. Powerful and highly funded forces are determined to destroy the family as an institution. How about our religious liberty? This first item listed in the Bill of Rights addresses the issue of religious liberty. All the other enumerated rights flow from that fundamental freedom. We need to make sure that our religious rights are protected by the candidate that we choose. Ronald Reagan had a wonderful quote. He said, without God, there is no virtue because there is no prompting of the conscience. There's no right or wrong. Without God, there is no coarsening of the society. Without God, democracy will not and cannot long endure. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. Capitalism versus socialism, that's what we're seeing today, is one of the big issues that could ultimately change our whole government system. It is hard to believe that for the first time in American history, our nation appears to be thinking about trading our democratic way of life for a tyranny of socialism. Could we really consider abandoning the beloved system of government that was designed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people? Democracy and capitalism have made ours the most powerful and successful nation in the history of the world. That is something we have to consider, who our candidate is. And the judicial system. Justices and judges are constitutionally charged to interpret the law, not make law. But again and again, they have overstepped their authority and brought us atrocities such as abortion on demand, same-sex marriage, and the so-called separation of church and state, which doesn't appear in the Constitution. Please don't vote for politicians who will expand rather than limit the power of the judiciary. We are a nation that is dedicated to freedom and justice for all. These are quotes from Dr. Dobson. Again, as Bob shared, prayer is our number one responsibility as believers. And The second is to vote. But I want to share very briefly, it was during the George Washington was proceeding over this 1787 Constitutional Convention on a hot midsummer day in Philadelphia. At this point, many of the delegates were tired and frustrated over the hopes of getting something worthwhile accomplished. It seemed no one could agree, and that the grand experiment of a truly free nation was in jeopardy. It was at this low point in the convention that Benjamin Franklin rose up to speak. Up to this point, he had rarely said anything, but because he was respected by all, the delegates listened carefully to the words which followed. "How has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding? In the beginning of the contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of our superintending providence in our favor. And have we now forgotten this powerful friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of man. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, it is probable that an empire can rise without his aid. We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its beginnings on our deliberations to be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business." And wouldn't that be a great way to start every one of our days with, we have that time with God, our Heavenly Father, and He has a plan for each one of us, and He certainly has blessed this nation, and we need to protect it and stand firmly on God Bless America.
Yeah, amen. You know, we got to be careful. We're not Christians that just live in a bubble away from the world. We live in this crazy world. So we need to participate, and we need to vote, and we need to pray. Just like Ben Franklin was saying, we need to pray more than ever before for our leaders and for this upcoming election. So I trust you can understand our concerns, and we'll participate accordingly. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful country that we live in. And I pray for its leaders that they can look to you in all things, that you can work in their hearts, Father, that they can listen and put you first so that we can continue to be a country that represents the freedoms of the individual person. So, Father, we just lift all of them to you, from the president, the legislature, the judicial folks, from the federal to the state and local, that we can just live that peaceable and quiet life because they look to you, Father, and you are involved in our country. So we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, bless your heart. Sure, wonderful being with you tonight. And look forward to having you with us in the future. And we'll have Thursday night fellowship at the Barnhearts, and then Sunday, 10:30 in the morning. So God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ.